The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on RantiumRadio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is the common denominator of greatness, Austin Aries, and you're listening to the men of the Shining Wizard Podcast.
Yeah, and
God damn it.
I love the big package. AEW post Dynamite show for March 25th. You know what pissed me off today?
What pissed you off, Matt?
My Google calendar was telling me how light the traffic was to the Prudential Center and what time I should be in the house.
Oh, I know.
Very depressing.
Well, luckily though, we might still get the Blood and Guts show.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think they're gonna waste that on an empty crowd. That's too cool of a thing.
No way.
Fingers crossed. So there is going to be a little delay. So if there's like dead air, just because we're watching each other. If you're listening live on the rant, rantiumradio.com, it's the Shining Wizard, Shining Wizards Matt. I'm here with Anthony, Danny, AOP, Kate the Great from On Deck IC. We're trying to give you some extra content tonight. We all sat down and watched Dynamite. Yes, it's 45 minutes late. Yes, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Yes, I've been doing this for 8 years. But we figured it out. And I was told by Kate I should check out Zoom, so I will be looking into Zoom tomorrow.
Yeah, good idea.
Thank you. I like your wall of CDs there, Anthony.
Yeah, I am pretty much done digitizing all the CDs, and that's not even all of them. There's more stuff in books all over the place. So, yeah, that's the best thing I could have as a background in this empty office.
All right.
Wait,
I like
explain
it.
For the people at home what you're doing with all of your music, digitizing it and sharing.
Yeah. So I'm basically, because we're all stuck at home, I'm just digitizing it. I had a bunch of it already done, but I'm just finishing it now and then sharing my playlist or my catalog with anybody who wants it. So then people could download it. So I'll add you to the list, Matt. I know you made fun of me looking for wrestling music. I actually don't think I have any. But
wow,
there's a lot of good shit in there.
I don't doubt you. Oh, and if I get up, it's because I have to go to the bathroom, just so you know.
Okay.
I do it all the time to Tony and Kevin, and sometimes I'm afraid to come back to whatever conversation they're having. If you listen to Monday's show, we ended the show talking about Japanese wrestling where a woman lost, and then she was fucked by the referee and some guy in the middle of the ring in front of the crowd. So literally fucked.
Nice.
Yeah, it was from like 2005, 2006. It was Tony's find, so he could take all the credit for that.
Kind of puts a new definition to banger of the week, am I right?
Oh, man.
11 o'clock at night, I'm still bringing it.
Oh. In your face!
I still have the soundboard, too. I think I could figure this out.
I hear it loud and clear.
All right, so AEW Dynamite, we're going empty arena from Jacksonville. They did a couple goofy things last week, like they said that we were going to get Wardlow and Luchasaurus in a lumberjack match. Clearly, because of the state that we're in, they couldn't have more than 10 people in one space at once. So that went out the window. I did sign up to Cody's text message thing. A great way for him to promote AEW. It's almost like when the Hulkster was in the hospital and they wanted you to send him postcards. Because you just get relentless text messages of the dog, and then he announced his Dynamite match with Jimmy Havoc. But then he announced that he was doing commentary, and I was like, how the fuck is that going to work?
I actually thought he was pretty great on commentary today.
Yeah, I thought him and Kenny were both good, and I know we're talking about Cody, but like I said to Gina as we were sitting watching on the couch, is there anything that Kenny can't do well in wrestling anywhere? He was so good on commentary. It was not even funny.
He was awesome, and no, there's nothing he can't do. he just is like the most well-rounded. You saw it actually too. I was on the Jericho Cruise, and that might have been one of the best examples I've actually seen of it, because they basically used the cruise as a bunch of dark matches to test a bunch of stuff out, which was really cool. And it's funny now because you're seeing some of it come to life. Like you saw MJF and Jungle Boy and stuff like on there. Yeah. And you could kind of get a feel for it. Kenny Omega was like so clearly analyzing everything on that cruise and like gauging crowds' reactions really intently, and also put on one of the coolest matches that there was. But like you can just see how like tuned into every piece of this business his mind was, and it was really cool. Like everybody else was like goofing off and having fun on the boat, and he was just like analyzing the production, the crowd reaction, what was going on in the matches, what storytelling was connecting and what wasn't. They like teased a couple of things about intergender wrestling and maybe doing a 6-man tag tournament type stuff, like, and he was totally gauging. It's really cool to see someone who's that well-rounded and that plugged in.
My main takeaway when I keep, like, you see Cody every week and you see him, like, online interacting with people and, you know, tonight in commentary, like, specifically after the Jake the Snake vignette where he came back and he was kind of flustered after hearing what he said and everything else. And not that, like, none of the other guys are, you know, as dialed in to AEW and everything they're doing. But you can just see, like, you can see and feel really how important it is to Cody in everything he does and everything he says and everything he tweets and all of his matches, the tattoo, like, everything. It's just, like, for me personally, it feels like a slight step higher than everybody else.
Yeah, I can't speak to what the WWE is doing, because I've completely punched out. I have not watched any. The last WWE thing I watched was WrestleMania 30, and that's just because it was on ESPN, and it would just happen to be on at the restaurant while I was closing down. It's just the little things. Like, for me, growing up as a wrestling fan, like, you had a color analyst like, you know, Cody sitting in the booth tonight, and Kenny, where they were explaining the way the match goes and what these moves do and what they're supposed to be doing versus whatever fucking nonsense is going on WWE with Corey Graves and that fucking Cracker Jack staff he's got over there. I mean, it's just, I get it. WWE wants to be an entertainment company. That's why they bring in Gronk. That's why they're like they did Rodman wants to wrestle Gronk, like he said in his fucking documentary or something dumb like that. Like, you want to be an entertainment
company? We got a guest, uh-oh, folks.
We got a guest.
Oh, hey, Dad.
Hold on. We're taking the headphones out so he can hear.
All right.
Dad, you remember Matt? He played softball with us.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hi, Mr. Rusinello. How are you?
How are you?
That's your other son, Anthony.
Oh, I know him.
Hi, how are you, sir?
You can't see Kate. She's also on the call with us.
Okay.
I was starting to lag, so I called my video.
We're doing a podcast about the wrestling show tonight.
That's great. Professional.
How good. Okay, have a good time, guys. Okay, I'm going to go. All right, talk to you.
He has no idea we're live right now.
That's okay.
But yeah, we're super live.
How many people saw me?
Like 1,000.
Oh, boy.
Maybe even 20.
Maybe 20,000. All right, headphones going back in. Sorry, man.
No, it's okay. We had a drive-by. It happens. These things happen. My wife will walk through at some point. I was on the phone with Kate before while we were setting this up, and she's like, why are you jerking off? And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, you have your dick and balls out. I'm like, no, I don't. Stop. It's not funny. But back,
like, it was hilarious.
WWE wants to be an entertainment company, and that's fine. It just doesn't fall under the umbrella of shit that I want to watch. I want to watch a wrestling company. I want a wrestling product. I thought fucking AEW hit another home run tonight.
I agree.
As I have been watching, I find this whole situation incredibly fascinating, running empty arena shows on a show that is so often predicated by audience reaction. Like, I'm genuinely, like, intrigued because I'm a nerd. But, like, one thing that I really I didn't hear what that was. One thing that I really just have come to the realization of was that, like, AEW, it just seems like they're having more fun than, like, the wrestlers in WWE. Like,
oh,
it feels
yeah.
like they're genuinely having a really good time. Like, it feels like Sammy Guevara is being ridiculous, singing Jericho's theme song, and it's fun. And MJF is gambling, and it's fun. And Sonny Kiss is on the sidelines having fun. Like, when I watch WWE, it just feels like so robotic. And they also made no adjustments whatsoever. Like, I know they had to bring it back this time because the standards got more strict, but like having wrestlers at ringside was something that was so obvious to me and could have led to so many creative angles because someone could have come out from the sides and attacked someone in the ring. WWE didn't have that. They didn't move the hard cam until AEW did it. Like, there were so many things that were so glaringly obvious to me of like how you should change the product that WWE just didn't do. And then they're rerunning old shit for half the show. Last on Raw, they had two matches that were old matches. It was Charlotte and Asuka, and then Royal Rumble Triple Threat with Cena, Lesnar, and I forget who the third was from, I think, 2015.
I think it was Rollins.
With Rollins, yeah.
Which was
and those...
a slamming match, but I don't want to watch that.
Like, yeah, like, I can go back on the network if I want to watch that shit. Like, it's just, I... for the first time in a really long time, and I've been dissatisfied pretty much for the past year for WWE programming, like, I actually have just been turning it off. Usually, like, I haven't liked it, and it's been just wallpaper stuff in the background while I'm working or whatever, but I'm actively now turning it off, and they went down to 2 million after being at 2.5 million last week for Raw, so it makes sense. But anyway, my original point being, before I started rambling, that AEW just feels like they're having more fun. And now I'm having more fun, partly because they're having more fun. It felt like the Empty Arena show was a special event rather than this huge hindrance, where in WWE it felt like a huge hindrance.
And, you know, I think one of the cool things was, like, you see the ultimate flexibility of AEW, right? Because last week they decide to have all the wrestlers at ringside, and that was really cool and really interactive, and it didn't make it seem like an empty arena. There was still a reason for them to be mugging and pointing to the crowd because they were just goofing off with their friends. And this week, you know, obviously, as Matt said, the situation's changed, and now they can't have more than like 10 people in one space at a time. You know, it was interesting to see they pivoted and were like, oh, we'll have them in the back watching and still gambling and fooling around, but it's different. But that still felt different to me. Like, yeah, why wouldn't you have a camera somewhere where all your wrestlers are congregating to show them? It just made so much sense when you started watching it, as opposed to, you know, the other product where it's still just an empty arena and they're mugging to nobody and you've got all... you know, you got other talent there in the back, and they're pretending like nobody's there, and then they're kind of making fun of the fact that nobody's there. It's just so weird. And I also read something today, this is just a passing note, because we mentioned how they are so stuck on their formula, or at least to me that's how it feels. I read something today that there's a rumor that Vince is slowly losing his memory, and that he feels that this came from one of the sheets. He feels that people will forget the holes in the stories, I guess because he's forgetting the holes in the stories.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So if that's true, I don't know where that came from, but I definitely saw it in my news feed, like on Google, because it knows what I'm looking for.
Speaking of sheets, do you guys follow WrestleVotes? Because they're like, everything they report comes true. They were like the only people to have Liger winning the Rumble. They had the WrestleMania location for next year. Like everything. Highly suggest following WrestleBoats on Twitter.
That's cool.
Let's plug other people's Twitters. Thanks, Danny.
just sharing, because I saw that too. I can't remember if it was from them or somewhere else.
And that's something where it's like, it goes back to the Vince McMahon ego. Like, I get it's a business, and I get that you were like waiting for the city of Tampa to cancel WrestleMania so you can get the insurance money and all that bullshit, but it's like an ego thing, and he's losing his mind, so that doesn't help. So he's like, I'll just wait until the last minute because I'm Vince McMahon and the show must go on. I did you watched that Dark Side of the Ring last night, you're reminded they did a whole memorial to Chris Benoit before they found out the facts. The whole shit with fucking Brian Pillman's wife when Brian Pillman died, the Raw after, the shit with Owen Hart. I mean, it's an ego thing. He has to be the guy. His company has to be the company. Like, we have to be the first to do a live TV event since 9/11. Like, he's that guy. And it's like, I think it's starting to fucking catch up to him. And I think it's hurting him. And it's hurting his business. You want to, sell me, a wrestling fan, your product. And I turn on the TV and fucking Goldberg, the dude that was around 20 years ago, is your fucking champion.
The same time as another part-timer, as Lesnar, too. Like, that's really hard to me, is that you now have two part-timers. And Lesnar still entertains the hell out of me, but it's like you have two guys defending two titles that are not on the show that often. But today, I actually felt watching AEW like it was also more than just, like, the creations of the shows. I felt like the wrestlers themselves made more adjustments than WWE wrestlers, because there were, in the opening match, you had Jimmy Havoc doing that awesome thing where he put on a commentary headset, pulling Cody by the tongue or by the mouth or whatever. It was so weird. And you also had Cody, like, run backstage and do a running lariat, which is, like, something I don't know if you do when you have an empty arena, because it's just, I don't know, it just felt different. And because the ramp was, like, so close to the ring, like, I felt like the wrestlers have just also done a better job adapting. And I kind of said this jokingly in our group text that, like, I think just nobody's used to working in front of no people than independent wrestlers. Like, they're so used to working in front of super small crowds that I think they, like, just kind of understand how to adapt better, where WWE, because it's so formulaic, it's house show TV, like, I think, I don't know, it hit me today that the wrestlers also know how to adapt, never mind just the production and the creative side of it. Like, the actual wrestlers are doing a better job adapting than WWE wrestlers.
And you know what's interesting to me, too, is, and I don't know, I won't go into specific stuff because, Matt, I don't know if you have a formula, if you want to go piece by piece through this, but, like, what the coolest part has been to me is watching AEW figure out how to make use of the empty house in the best way possible for them. So having Sammy Guevara now with nobody in the front row, without any of his friends, having those posters there and interacting with them.
Hilarious.
That was great. And then the vignette that they did with Matt Hardy, you know, having him teleport from, you know, the upper deck to the mid tier to, you know, different spots on the floor all the way forward. Like, that's just so genius. Why wouldn't you utilize the whole space when possible? And it's, again, you know, I know we're not here to shit on WWE. We're here to actually praise shit on what we saw tonight, but like, they're so stuck on staying on the ramp and getting in the ring and working around the ring. They're not using anything else. It's so weird. But I thought tonight, I thought tonight was fantastic.
Yeah, and I think AEW does an exceedingly good job of that, because I felt like all AEW's adjustments last week were things that I had thought of that they should do, and the adjustments they made this week, I didn't think about Matt Hardy being up by the rafters and then being down in the ring like Sting would do. I didn't think about having reactions backstage, but it's still feeling organic like that. Last week, I was like, definitely move the hard cam. Definitely there should be people at ringside. Like, they just took it to a whole other level that I can't even really wrap my mind around, especially for such a young company. So it just widens the gap between the two products. You have one that's like so stuck and then one that's so far advanced from what I would even consider like a pretty good job that it's just made for really compelling entertainment. And I also just can't get over, and this goes for more than empty arena shows, a wrestling show that's 2 hours is better than a wrestling show that's 3 hours. It just is so much quicker. It's so much cleaner. It makes for such better content, in my opinion. Like, it
keeps really you wanting more.
Yeah, and it also lets you switch up the talent that's on there every week as well.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing when you saw Jimmy Havoc and Cody get in the ring, and it's like, okay, like, we haven't seen this. Kip Sabin, Darby Allin. It's like, oh, wow, we haven't got this matchup yet. And it's like, AEW is... All I ask of a wrestling company when I watch them is, don't insult my intelligence. Don't treat me like I'm an idiot. Like, I know what I'm watching. And, like, it's just crazy, like, just the little things. Like, Jericho being like, I banned everybody from being here until I say they're... like, it's brilliant.
So fucking good.
Like, how come that's not, like, something Paul Heyman is doing when he brings Brock Lesnar out on Raw? And I hate to go back to WWE, but it's kind of like compare and contrast and, like... It's just like the little things. It's just a creativity, and you get to see them run with it. And back to the Matt Hardy thing tonight, like, it was brilliant. The fucking teleporting.
That whole segment was just unbelievable to me because Chris Jericho was like, I'm going to just double down so hard on the fact that we operate in reality. And Matt Hardy was like, I'm going to double down so hard on the fact that I am in a broken universe in my brain. And that contrast and their conviction in that contrast was just such entertaining content to me. Like, I loved it so
much. Jericho, like, didn't know what to say to him to get through to him. And, like, you could feel that, and you can... Like, that was coming through their whole exchange. For me, like, what we've been talking about, you can feel that they let the creativity, or at least it feels like they let it come from the wrestlers. And when it comes from them and it's something they're invested in, you can feel like they care about it. Matt, you said, like, what matters to you is that they don't insult you. My big thing is, like, make me feel like you care. Like you can tell.
The best example of that. Like, Randy Orton.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
So palpable. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this week, like, I saw Orton's promo on Edge. And, like, you can tell he's fully invested in what they're doing. Whereas, like, a lot of other times, you don't feel that coming from them. And I think the big thing is you can tell when they let guys have creative control and do stuff they want to do and when they don't. Like the New Day is the perfect example of that for me, too. They let them do their thing. They let them... One day they were just like, we're going to throw pancakes to people. And they started throwing fucking pancakes to people. And it was a hit. And you can tell when, you know, people are invested and when they're not invested. And that, to me, is the biggest turnoff, is when you can tell people don't care. I feel like everyone in AEW cares, genuinely.
I think part of that is symptomatic of the schedule, too, because they do one TV a week. And then with WWE, it's got to be like, okay, who am I fighting this house show? Who am I fighting this house show? Who am I on TV with this week? Like, I think having the breathing room has got to be something that's so much better for the wrestlers, not only for them physically, but it's just like, when you're cycling through that many opponents and that many feuds, when you're wrestling that often, it's got to be some of that's got, you could be fighting the coolest person in the world. And like, eventually you're just not going to care because you're just so worn out from the cycle, would be my guess.
Well, it's oversaturation with the WWE. I don't know if they still do it because I haven't been to a house show in years, but it's essentially the same guys every night because they're building a feud or they're going to be working together and they just want to get comfortable. But, you know, if I see AJ Styles against, Ricochet, you know, fucking three Monday nights in a row, and then I go to a house show and it's the same fucking match, but they get a little leeway because it's not on TV, like, that doesn't interest me. Like, Darby Allin, Kip Sabin, they got on the screen, and I was like, oh, we haven't seen this yet. Like, I brought it up a couple weeks ago. Chuck Taylor, when he wrestled Pac, that was, like, his first singles match in AEW. So it's like you're getting this fresh matchups that you're not getting. You're not, you know, you turn on WWE and it's the same 12 guys and girls, if that's what you're into.
And they have such big rosters and 7 hours of programming that it's like, I find that wildly frustrating on the WWE standpoint. And the other thing with the breathing room at AEW is, like, we didn't see Jurassic Express at all this week. Like, and that's fine. And I'll be excited when they're back on my screen. Like, it's not even that we're just getting different matchups. It's that, like, I'm not burned out because I'm not even seeing the same people every week, much less, like, the same feuds every week, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Go ahead, Ant.
No, I was going to say, and I almost feel like this gives a little, like, some of what's going on as far as what we're talking about scheduling and TV time and whatnot. Like, I feel like what we're seeing AEW do is giving a little bit of credence to my theory that, you know, we're getting this repeat shit with the WWE because of the forced timeline with so many fucking pay-per-views. Like, AEW doesn't have all these pay-per-views, so they can stretch all these storylines out and really help build stuff that feels big, even if it's not. But then they're also deciding to interweave, you know, a bunch of different storylines too. So I honestly feel like right now it's so fresh because we're not getting beat over the head with a short storyline and then a blow-up that's supposed to come at a pay-per-view, but there's no blow-up because then they got to get to the next pay-per-view, and then there's no blow-up again because, oh, wait, they were really pushing to the major pay-per-view that's down the line. It's really weird. They have so much talent, and they don't know what to do with it. It's unbelievable. But I honestly feel like there's a lot of talent at AEW, too. There's a lot of good guys on that roster, and we don't have to see them every week. We don't have to feel like we've got to be so invested with them. Like, again, I think it's almost like Matt keeps saying, don't insult my intelligence. Like, we won't forget these guys because we don't see them on TV every week. Like, we can let them breathe a little bit. It's fine.
And it means.
And the other thing, AEW, like, I think with AEW Dark is also something that's awesome because you have the option to tune into it or not, which I do because I find it entertaining, but it's like kind of a testing ground for them and more matches if you're missing people. And then the other thing that's awesome that I completely forgot when we were talking about the beginning of the show was, first of all, huge like props to Tony Schiavone for being great on commentary and backstage interviews and everything he's doing and having his regular guys there today. But then they also like kind of slid in there like, hey, JR is going to be live tweeting, so if you miss JR, like, hop on Twitter for this. It's like, that's a great idea. Like WWE is just not forward enough thinking in even those ways of, like, how do we integrate social media without it just being, like, basically, like, cut content or just really, like, nothing compelling, nothing that makes me want to go to social media to then see what they're doing. But, like, I want to do that with AEW Dark. I will check out JR's tweets later tonight, like, after we're done with this, like, I love what they're doing with that kind of stuff. Being the Elite is still a series that's continuing. Like, I just really appreciate that they're, like, finding all these hooks and avenues that haven't been tried necessarily in wrestling, and I feel like they just keep knocking it out of the park.
And tonight was the first time, sorry, Matt, this is, I'll let you get in, but this was I think the first time tonight we had them trying out a YouTube post show of their own, with Taz giving his reactions. They teased that on the show once or twice. So I think Taz was going live on YouTube after the show to give his reactions, which, no-brainer. He's a guy with a radio background. So why can't he sit in front of a camera and pontificate, you know, on YouTube? Like, try it out. If it doesn't work, don't ever do it again. But, like, I agree with Kate. It's really refreshing to see them starting to lean into all these additional avenues, and especially at a time where you can't directly connect with your fans at a live show. Like, yeah, do some additional social stuff. Stay connected in these other channels and make the pivot. I think it's brilliant, too. I think it's great.
Yeah, there's only so many times you could watch Netflix or Hulu or play video games where you're missing, you need a sense of normalcy. So if they're going to give you extra content, and that you could turn that 2-hour AEW Dynamite show into a 2-hour and 45 minute night where you just fucking punch out, you get in the, like, I'm in a group text with you guys, I love it, like, you just fucking world's going to hell in a handbasket right now, but for that 2 hours, like, it's just fucking unwind. Let's watch some good wrestling. Let's fucking bust each other's balls. And then you're going to tell me after the show I can watch more content on YouTube? That's fucking great. I don't have to put on fucking USA and watch the same SVU episode that I've seen 1,000 fucking times this week already. Like, this is the time.
Whoa. SVU is great. Let's calm down.
I love SVU. I love SVU, but there's only so much, like, I'm not getting my NWA. Although they've put out a fucking pop-up show. New Japan Pro Wrestling just put up all their USA stuff that they did at the end of January. Like, people are bringing content to the table. They're trying to fill the void. I know they didn't do Power 2 weeks ago. They didn't do it last night. They aired, like, a pop-up show where David Arquette beat Josephus and they shaved his head. Like, now is the time. And I think AEW adapting to that is fantastic because people want more content. We're missing the normalcy of the wrestling world. So if they're going to give you an after show, like, I'm going to watch it. Like, we're doing this tonight. I'm going to do a wrestling roundtable tomorrow where I'm just going to open the phone lines and people can call in. Like, I just want to fucking talk about wrestling and, you know, not worry about fucking unemployment and my mortgage and all this other goofy bullshit that I usually spend all week worrying about. And now I kind of have all this free time on my hands. So I think it's great. AEW's hitting a fucking home run.
Yeah, no, I think that for a week where it felt like they can't possibly, like, do anything to kind of move up to that next notch, because I think we've seen them peak with what they can do without a live audience. And in a week where there are new restrictions put in place, you know, people can't travel like they did 1 week ago. You can't have as many people in the same place as you did 1 week ago. They were able to, I really do think they still took kind of a step up and notched themselves up a little bit. I think it's great. And I think the fact that they're giving more content, even Ring of Honor, like if you follow them on Instagram and stuff like that, they're constantly churning out content right now because there's the time. You know, it's just really amazing to see who's taking the initiative, finding these additional channels, and those who really aren't, and kind of sitting back and being like, we've already got the history. People can go find it if they want. Like, you know, whatever. We'll show you old shit on TV and you won't care because this is what you're used to. I don't buy that. I don't buy it.
Yeah, and there's, I want to plug a company, I guess they are, Violent Miracle. They're on Instagram and Twitter. They do a lot of, like, Japanese, old school Japanese wrestling stuff. Like, if you're on their mailing list, they're every other day they're mailing out a comp tape that you can watch on YouTube of all old Japanese wrestling. Like, Monday it was awesome. the original Tiger Mask, and they just put together a bunch of, like, 20 of his matches, and you just fucking send them your email address if you're on their mailing list to confirm that you're the recipient, and they send you a link to this private YouTube page. Yesterday was Vader.
That's awesome.
Him versus Inoki, him versus Bigelow. I had it on this afternoon. It's fantastic stuff. So there's people there that are going to fill the void. There's companies, you know. I keep tweeting at Ring of Honor. Add this shit to the Honor Club. Like, I want all those anniversary shows. I lived the last year of Ring of Honor. It wasn't the greatest year. I don't want to rewatch that stuff.
right.
So, like, give me, like, that's what Honor Club is. And now that you have the time, like, if they added, like, the first 3 years and all their shows, their fucking numbers would go through the fucking roof. People would go nuts.
How about GCW, by the way, raising $11,000 in 2 days for the money that was lost around WrestleCon and the collective being canceled, and them doing a social distancing match between Jimmy Lloyd and Joey Janela? That was more entertaining than anything WWE has put on since this happened. It was entertaining than most things in their nets. But, like, the referee had sanitizer for the steel chairs. He had a tape measure to make sure they were 6 feet apart. They were wiping down the door that they eventually went through, and they would deliver a move 6 feet away and receive the impact 6 feet away. It was, they did a reverse Hurricane Rana that both of them did in perfect sync. It was amazing. Like, there are ways to utilize this art form with these circumstances and entertain people. And I feel like everybody but WWE is doing it really, really well.
I love GCW. They're the best. They're the best indie running right now.
Agreed.
It's not close. They're the best. So, and it's not all deathmatch stuff. I would love for us all to go to one.
We're trying. Somebody has some kind of nonsensical family reunion. Somebody else is going to some screamo concert. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Deftones and Gojira are not screamo, Matt. Come on. You like Gojira.
I do like Gojira.
You like Deftones.
I don't want to say, look, me and Anthony have mended fences. We have become the triple threat, me, Danny, and Anthony. So I don't want to say anything disparaging.
No, cool. I'll just go fuck myself.
I might be flipping. I thought I was enough for you, Matt.
Thank you. Come on over.
I thought I was enough. I thought me and you, man.
You are enough.
Well, now we should explain to people apparently not. What this is all about.
Strength in numbers, Danny. Strength in numbers.
She's... have to explain to the listeners now what this is.
I don't
is.
Have to explain shit to the listeners, okay?
All right. Losing listeners.
We were like Butch and Sundance.
I think it's fun because we could also get to explain that we all went to a Ring of Honor event together and it was awesome.
It was awesome. True.
This was the crew that went.
This is the crew. I actually...
And we all made tag teams in the car. It was a lot of fun. And then everybody turned on me, you guys. And now they have a stable and I'm all alone for no good reason.
Nobody.
I guess I'm a fucking loser.
Nobody turned on you, Kate. You
Anthony turned on me
because you were constantly name dropping another podcaster / wrestling journalist like he was your BFF.
That's true.
First of all, that was 100 months ago. Second of all, that's not what this was about. This started with Matt's lies, and then nobody cared that Matt lied. Matt's going to the bathroom. Is Matt going to the bathroom? He just looked like
I'm
he was going
to
get
the bathroom. And I'm not a liar. There's a fucking cornucopia on the sign. Okay. Goddamn cornucopia.
I think Kate screwed Kate. If I have to be quite honest.
I had to turn off my video because it was making the stream lag, but I just did the Bret Hart WCW with my finger.
I knew it. I could hear the air whooshing between your strokes.
While Matt's in the bathroom though, let's talk about how much fun that Ring of Honor experience was, because it was really great.
That was a great show. It was a great experience. I thought that for a single day road trip, the way we did it, it was a lot of fun, because it easily could have been miserable. Like, if it was just, like, 4 hours in the car, then the show sucked, then, like, we were miserable on the way home. Like, it could have been terrible, but it was a really fun trip. I feel like that was the day we could have become the Four Horsemen of the Shining Wizards, but I don't know. Then
we really booted Tony and Kevin right out of it.
Yeah, get the fuck out.
Sorry, guys. We're hijacking. It's like we're invading. It's an invasion angle.
Oh, jeez. Well,
guys, bad. I think I'm going to join Dan Hapson's Patreon.
Dan House is amazing.
Because I keep watching the videos on the Twitter, and I just want to watch. I want to watch all the food reviews.
He referred to sprinkles as clown pepper. It was the
funniest yes.
thing I've ever heard. He's unreal. And then with the bookings canceled, he's been growing a Castaway-esque beard. It's hilarious. I am so in housing on Dan Housen. I can't even.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna join the Patreon housing.
You know what's funny is I sent Gina an article and I was like, I think you're going to be all in on Dan Housen because the gimmick is totally in her wheelhouse. And her only response was, why does he wear all that makeup? He's so handsome. And I was like, come on, that's not why I sent it to you.
Aww.
I've showed him to M, my wife, and I keep saying to her, like, very nice, very evil. And periodically... I'll say to her, what's Dan Housen say? And her answer every time is, like, so nice, so happy. And I'm like, no, that's not it. You're close.
It's just very
you guys watch the video of him in RJ City? Doing the Who's
yes.
the First Housen?
I watched it after you showed it. You told us about it.
Oh, my God. It's the Who's on First Housen is just fantastic. I love it. Hi, Matt. Welcome back to your own show.
Thank you. The bathroom is literally 6 feet away, so I was good. Steering the conversation back towards AEW, as much as I love Dan Housen and Warhorse, Mr. JP Warhorse, How do you guys feel with this Moxley Hager situation?
I just don't like Jake Hager, to be honest. I just am not entertained by him.
He's also not my favorite, but to give him like a title defense, like out of the gate, I think it's kind of the perfect person. I mean, you know, he's going to beat him. There's no real threat. He's going to lose the belt, but you know, he's a legit MMA fighter, and I think they can have some stiff matches. I mean, I think they can make it look good.
And he's choking people out, so they're making him seem really legitimate, like he's a hard ass. So I think that I don't mind it. I feel like if there's anybody in that stable that he would be, you know, like that Moxley would have to fight next, it's got to be Hager. It's not Guevara. It's neither the Santana Ortiz. So, you know, I don't mind it. I think it makes perfect logical sense.
I think it makes logical sense, even though I don't like him. Like, my only gripe with it is we've had Jericho as champ. We've had Moxley as champ. For him to be fighting, like, another WWE alum and for Matt Hardy to be so prominent, I would love to see, like, some of the younger talent get shots. But, like you said, like, it's going to be an obvious loss. And it makes logical sense with where the story's going. I just hope some of these younger guys get put over soon.
Well, I think you saw the seeds planted with the first Dynamite after Revolution, where MJF said he was coming for the title. But, of course, things changed with all this coronavirus stuff. So I think this is the safe bet to get Hager in there with Moxley. And it's kind of that, you know, as we said before, it's the underlying stories. You know, there's still Darby still got the thing with the Inner Circle. Before his match, they showed that weird vignette where he had the weird faces on and he burned the table up. So that's still there.
Awesome.
MJF's still floating around.
He's so cool.
MJF's still floating around in the background. Now Cody's got to deal with Jake Roberts and Lance Archer, which it blows my fucking mind that Jake Roberts has not been involved in professional wrestling for who knows how long. Like, WWE wasn't using him as a manager. Like, it's he still cuts the best promo in the business, and he's bringing back the trust me, I'm fucking sold. I'll do whatever Jake Roberts wants me to do.
Yeah,
and
today
he even kind of alluded to that when he had said, like, you start this company and you don't even give me a call, basically. I loved that. Like, you're starting this company for the ground up and you don't even call Jake the Snake Roberts. Well, forget you then. I loved it. Loved it.
And Cody sold that so well too. Like, him, like, coming back out of that vignette right out of his match, being like super flustered about it and kind of stumbling over his words and everything. Well, you can hear and see the nervousness.
Yeah, and I thought it was, I thought that Jake still can cut a promo better than I think like 80% of the people out there, but it was cool to see him throw kind of a little dig in. I felt like it was maybe a subtle dig in at Dusty. Like, you don't even call the best promo guy who's ever lived to come help you out. Like, that I thought was like perfect, because it was such a subtle thing that maybe a few people out there, smart, you know, marks and people who are wrestling fans, would maybe truly kind of pick that out. I just thought it was great. And even last week, you know, Archer's video package was fantastic. I mean, it's just the build they're giving him is perfect. Putting him with Jake is perfect. I love this whole thing, and I love the fact that Cody was like, you know, fuck it, next week, you make your debut. Like, just make it. He's going to eventually say yes. I think he's eventually going to lose, and then he'll get his, you know, retribution down the line. But it's great. It is absolutely fantastic to have Jake back. He looks good. He sounds good. And it's a perfect pairing.
And they do such a nice...
I didn't even think about this. I was just going to say, I didn't even think about the Dusty dig part of that. I love that. And I also love the not-so-subtle digs that we saw today. But go ahead, Matt.
It's back to don't insult my intel. Like, you're giving me characters. Like, I'm invested in these guys. Like, Murder Hawk Mansion last week, amazing. If they put a Murder Hawk
Mansion
t-shirt on, I would have bought fucking 100 of them.
I want an I want an everybody die shirt. Like I need an everybody die shirt.
It's just the vignettes with him, the Brody Lee vignettes, like the MJF stuff, like all these little vignettes, like just add to these characters and they make me care about them. Why do I care about Lance Archer? Because he's in the fucking woods with Jake Roberts, who's smoking and drinking, and they're beating up all these fucking guys just for shits and giggles like it's a fight club. Like, this dude's a bad motherfucker. I want to see that.
And what makes me happy
Cody
about...
Cody has an interest in him. Like, it's like using established talent to put over new talent. What a freaking concept.
And what makes me happy, like, we're talking about the vignettes. I feel like early on, they weren't doing a lot of that. And that was what a lot of people wanted to kind of, you know, who weren't super familiar with a lot of these people. People were, you know, looking for some kind of character build, like vignettes like they're showing now. It really feels like that's something they listened to and have really started to run with heavy.
Yeah, I think the perfect example of that is the Dark Order.
Yep.
You know,
that wasn't working, and they started those join pro vignettes, and then everything from there. And I think they've really turned the Dark Order around
completely. Well, you know, the vignettes saved them.
And you know what I think I agree the vignettes saved them, but what I think the other point that has to be made is that these well produced vignettes have saved them. If these vignettes were shitty produced, low budget quality, you know, like C movie grade, they wouldn't have paid off. Their video production has been so good. I've been so impressed. Everything they've put out has been fantastic. Like the Road to Revolution hour long show that they put on TNT. I thought that was fantastic. Professional editing, professional, you know, kind of like narration, you know, it all helps everything they're doing. I'd love to find something that I've absolutely hated that they've done, but it's all been great. And I mean, even the stuff that some people might call like the little petty digs, I think it's been great. Like, they make no bones about other wrestling that has taken place through the last, you know, 50 years. How many names was Cody dropping tonight? And also the fact that he's like, Brody Lee, I knew him by another name. You know, like, where else would Vince McMahon would pretend like this guy's never existed? He just fucking molded him out of clay.
People that complain about the digs are such goddamn dorks. I cannot stand it. Like, if you're really going to get upset that they're, like, throwing shots at WWE, like, stop being a little bitch and just enjoy the show.
But
competition makes everybody better, or it's supposed to make everybody better. I don't think it is. But, like, if that's really going to, like, turn you off, like, please, grow up.
I also feel like that goes to a bigger point of just AEW. Like, I feel like the people that complain about that are the same people that don't complain about the fact that, like, WWE says universe and can't say wrestler. Like, WWE operates in their own vacuum where they have their own, like, weird jargon and their own rules, and it feels like a giant inside joke that you're not a part of, where AEW, like, just acknowledges the context that they're in and, like, acknowledges that it's wrestling and stuff, which I think, for me, is really refreshing. But I think what you were saying, like, speaks to that, like, the difference in those modalities, where it's, like, you cannot be an up and... It'd be like if the XFL or the now defunct AAF just was like, yeah, but we're not going to acknowledge the NFL. Like, that would be crazy. Like,
yeah.
I think AEW has to do that, and I think they're doing a good job, and I can't wait to get into today's, you said, subtle digs. There were some not so subtle digs coming from Brody Lee today, and I loved all of them.
And I don't want you to completely tear the wall down, but when you're talking about Lance Archer, you know him from Japan, you've seen him in Japan, like, that's enough. Acknowledge he was in Japan. You know, you don't have to, look, if you're not working with New Japan, whatever, you know, like the barriers, you know, they're just bike racks with fucking tarps on top of them. They're not foam padding.
Yeah.
You know, Cody throwing out to Bill Watts. The Darby Allin as a young Sting was a little weird. I'm not going to lie to you. If it's just face paint, maybe. I would think Darby Allin's more like a Jeff Hardy, but that's just me personally.
Yeah, I think the Sting thing didn't even bother me until the end where Matt Hardy was like up in the rafters like Sting used to be and then down on the ground. It almost made less sense when you then saw Matt Hardy doing what he did later in the show. But I think what he kind of clarified, I think what he was saying was that you like see the little kids with the face paint like you used to see with Sting. I think he just took a minute to get there.
Now, Kate, you're chomping at the bit. You want to talk about this Brody Lee thing.
I just, the sneeze and the I eat first. And they were like one step away from being like having Brody Lee just leave them in Saudi Arabia and fly home first. Like they were getting really, really close. It was awesome. And just the idea that he gets revealed as the Exalted One and then they make it like, and I especially like that they made him like a faux Vince McMahon when NXT had like a Tony Khan going around with Chelsea for some reason. I kind of like that. I'm like, you get to fire back if they're going to like make fun of Tony Khan, who's kicking ass and kicking NXT's ass every week. Like, why not go there? Who's a bigger villain than Vince McMahon in wrestling since the Montreal Screwjob, really? Like, do it. Take the dig. I love it.
And Brody Lee looks amazing.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Amazing. QT Marshall's a great hand, but you knew that was coming.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I didn't know he was Jerry Lynn's son.
Sorry, what?
They said he's Jerry Lynn's son, right?
Did they really say that?
Yeah. Am I wrong? Someone correct me.
No, you're right.
You're right on that.
QT Marshall?
That's what they said.
They're fucking
full of shit.
Cody said it, man. I'm just saying.
No, Jerry Lynn has a daughter. And she's like 13.
Well, all I know is that they said it. And who said it? From the Big Apple. Brandy announced him from the Big Apple. And Cody said, well, they say he's from the Big Apple, but he's really from Freehold, New Jersey.
He's really from Livingston, just so you know.
Yeah, maybe right now he hails from Freehold. Sorry, man.
He's not fucking Jerry Lynn's kid. They're full of shit. They lied to you.
Whatever.
He did say it.
I don't doubt it. Can we talk about how good Brandy is as a fucking announcer?
She's great. Can we talk about how awesome it was that last week they put up under her name, I don't know if you guys caught this, they put up a thing that said she would never announce again. Did you see that?
This week
they have so much fun with those, like with all the Hangman ones. It's great.
This week she was mad as hell.
Yes. Yes, she was mad as hell. She was mad as hell this week.
Oh, I also love Brandy with the when Sammy Guevara like kissed the portrait of her that was taped to the chair, Brandy's face when they panned over to her was amazing. She made this amazing like Sting face.
Yeah.
Pretty great. Brandy's a great announcer.
Yeah, I think I would take her over Justin Roberts. I can't deal with the Justin Roberts. I hate his fucking nonsense.
Can you
do that again?
But I just, like, it feels like a parody of itself, and I like that. Just seems fun to me.
Anthony Russo from the wall of CDs. Anthony.
Like, you kind of just put him over, though. See, you contradicted your own point. I'm
yeah, but I don't. I just don't like. Oh, she's coming back to you, Ant. I don't like. I don't know. Justin Roberts is too much for me.
You don't have to like him. No one said you. Look, we have like a thing you don't like about AEW.
I hate the women's division too, so.
The only sad thing today was that it was better that there was no women's match. Like, that actually really makes me very sad.
It's where they're the farthest behind of everybody else.
I'll take my video off again.
No, your video's fine. There's
No. He said their women's division is the farthest behind everybody else.
Yeah.
I thought
yes.
You said that. Like, my video was behind everybody else. So for even better context for anybody listening at home, we do have a group text, and my group, like, my AT&T service was just behind all week. So they were getting these, like, my text messages were coming through on delay. So they would just get these, like, weird diatribe manifestos about wrestling all out of sequence and context. So if I was lagging behind, that would have been even funnier. But yeah, it bums me out. I'm definitely critical. I think less critical than you guys might be of it. I'm like at least in on Britt Baker, but it's tough. Like it sucks that it was a better show without a women's match on it, and that I didn't miss it really makes me annoyed. Like it makes me sad that it was better without a women's match.
I just think, look, there's some talented women there, but maybe they need a little more time.
I think that's the biggest thing. You know, like I like Chris Statlander a lot, but like she needs more time. Like you can see it.
And it's rough when I've seen, because I've seen a few of them. Like I saw Chris Statlander at a random match in Brooklyn, and she was better there. So like that's a concern to me, is like what's not translating, because there's a couple people that I've seen in indie matches and they were like, Chris actually kind of tore it up at Outlaw, she was great. So what's not translating, what's not connecting there, is a bummer, but it just
Well, I think that's where you see, I think we lost Kate, the whole thing froze. I lost everybody. Oh no. You guys still there? I think I lost everybody. When did this happen? At the 57-minute mark. All right, we get you guys back. There you go.
I'm here.
Kate, you there?
Hello.
I'm here.
All right, we got Danny. We got Anthony. We got Kate. We're all back?
We're back. Man, I broke the stream talking about the women's matches. That's how bad the women's matches.
No, but I think that's where you see the flip side of things. Like, as much as we want to say, like, oh, the schedule sucks and they don't, like, the Chris Stratlander, she could train at Creative Pro all she wants, but when she steps foot in a different ring, in an AEW ring, like, it may be that much of a difference where, you know, that 5 steps from turnbuckle to turnbuckle might be 6.5 in an AEW ring. So I think that might be something where they're maybe falling short, but that, I think that's just going to come with time. I think some of these women need a little more time in the ring. And it's not just Statlander. It's all of them, you know. We'll see. We'll see. I didn't miss it, but it wasn't like off the top of my head, like the show was over, and I was like, oh, dang it, there were no women's matches.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Like, even I think we all kind of unanimously agree that Impact probably has the best women's division. But, like, even the NXT women's division, like, you know, Shirai is kind of killing it now. And
NXT is pretty killer with their women.
Yeah, and even, you know, as weak as WWE is overall, like, I don't think anyone's going to sit here and say Charlotte Flair is a bad wrestler. You know what I mean? Like, I think their women's division is definitely still stronger. So it's just a bummer that I felt like there wasn't a void there and that I thought it was better without it. But, like, I mean, overall, that's pretty much my only criticism of this whole company that's been alive for 7-8 months or whatever, like, which is pretty, that's pretty impressive.
You done moving all your furniture, Anthony?
Oh, did my mic not mute? I hit the mute button. Sorry.
It's okay. We had the AAA Mega Championship on the line. Was there anything else from the Brody Lee vignette that you wanted to talk about?
Not from the vignette, but I love that stall on the Sister Abigail. It's fantastic.
I think that's got to be like a nod to Bray, right? Like that's what I read it as. Yeah, I don't think him and Bray have any ill will towards each other.
I don't think that it's I don't think it's a dig directly at Bray. I think that it's just, I think maybe it's a nod to him, and maybe just kind of like a wink and a nod, maybe at Vince, like, hey, maybe that should have been me. Maybe I could have made it work. Who knows? But I think it's great. I love the stall on it, and then he just does his own thing anyway. If that, what does he do? That discus lariat is his finisher right now. Yeah. I feel like that maybe needs to change. It just seems like a pretty common move. So we'll see what they do. But he looks good. I'm good with it. We can move on from Brody Lee if nobody else has anything to say.
Yeah, that's just to me another layer of the story of him coming over here too, like that little Sister Abigail nod too. Like it's like I was saying with the when Moxley was doing the eye for an eye stuff, like that, like I always get, this is so bad, I always get Santana and Ortiz mixed up. I always do. And I know, like, it's not, I just don't know which one is which, but I, like, can see them in my head.
Racist.
It's not, though, but it, like, sounds racist. Like it is, but it's not.
I'll tell,
but,
like, Kate, Ortiz is the claws. Ortiz does the claws.
Okay. So and who was, always, now I just can't remember because I can't remember who it was. I think it was Santana who yes, did the, yeah.
With the eye?
Santana did the eye for an eye.
The eye for an eye thing, yep. like the stories are just so, the characters are so developed, like you were saying, like you get invested in them because they're true characters. And like to me, the Brody Lee using the Sister Abigail thing is like just another layer of a really well done character that's been building and under the creative control of a wrestler. So it's just like cool to see, and it like lets, like even when they were revealing the Exalted One and they spelled out that whole like poem with Matt Hardy's name, it was like, and then it was a swerve to be someone else. Like I love all those, that level of attention to detail is really cool to me. And all the Brody Lee stuff has been just another shining example of that, a shining wizard example of that.
Ooh, cheap plug there. What did you guys think of Kenny and Sammy?
Awesome. Sammy Guevara is a star.
Yeah, I think he's taken a couple of losses. I would like to see him get a couple of wins soon. I don't know what that's going to take, but I feel like he's been losing a lot. And if you're going to tell me that the records matter, he's got to start getting some wins. But that kid is absolutely a star.
Is it the quality of losses, though? You know, like he's not losing to Jimmy Havoc. He's losing to Kenny Omega and Hangman Page and tag matches. Like, those are your top guys.
Oh, for sure. But it's more the, if you're going to tell me your record matters, that part of it. Like, I don't think the losses are hurting him in any other way that they keep telling, except that they keep telling me that they're keeping track of these records. So, but I also don't know what's that going to mean. Like, we also haven't seen that come into play yet.
Right. Well, I think this whole situation that we're in right now kind of gums up the works, and I think everyone's had to call it audibles.
For sure.
I know we have over here at the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Of course. So you are moving forward with a very fun tag team tournament.
The tag tournament, the Shining Wizards Cup 2020, is taking place. The second round starts tomorrow if you're listening to this live. If you download it in the morning, it starts Thursday, March 26th at noon. And you could watch my terrible video that's on the Shining Wizards Facebook page.
Great video.
I do not like watching myself on video. Like, I'm happy I am the smallest little gimmick up here. On the screen, because I don't like to look at myself. It's very awkward.
And then, you have your video going? I can't see your beautiful face, Matt.
Really?
Maybe
go
it's
full
my
screen.
Now it's off.
I can see Maddie.
Now it's on. Now I'm back. Here I am.
Oh, no. Yeah, I can see you. All there right. You are. Hi, handsome.
Thanks. What's up, Studley? Studley Dudley. As we approach the midnight hour here, what did you guys think of the ending of the show? Matt Hardy, Chris Jericho. I brought it up Monday night on the show. I don't ever remember Matt Hardy, Chris Jericho one-on-one. And I could be speaking out of turn, but has it?
He said that
it happened. It happened one time on, like, a SmackDown, I think.
Oh, on Twitter, they said they never actually faced each other, I think.
I believe they, I think I saw someone, like, found a match, like, SmackDown Live, like, in 2009 or something.
Oh, yeah, now that you're saying that, I think Jericho even said, I don't think I faced this guy, like, basically put out, like, a prove me wrong tweet. But it is crazy to think that were in the company together that long and they didn't ever come across paths. I guess Matt was tag-teaming a lot, though.
It's nice to me that they're letting Matt do his full, you know, the full gimmick. I mean, they let them do, like, the Ultimate Deletion, was it, with Bray? Was that what they called it? I mean, that's as far as they kind of let it go. And I don't know if anyone listened to, like, the Matt's podcast with Jericho, but I've, like, read some transcripts of it. And he said that, like, they recorded it and they played it for like creative and for Vince, and like people loved it. And Vince was sitting there being like, I don't know, I just don't get it. But everyone else loved it. And I think the end of the transcripts was Matt saying like, it kept them over 3 million viewers at one of the hours. So like, I think it just plays into, they never really let him go like full in on what he wanted to do. So I'm happy that he'll get to do that now, because the final deletion that they did with Abyss and TNA was one of like 4 TNA pay-per-views I've ever purchased. So that got me to buy a TNA pay-per-view, and I was so in on what they were doing that I'm happy he can go back to doing, you know, being his full character now again.
Well, and in WWE's defense too, there was like a copyright issue in the beginning, and then Matt also got injured for a decent chunk of it. So I think it was also like that couldn't even develop into this ultimate deletion. Like I don't think it could get to where it wanted to go anyway, just because there was so much start and stop with it during his time there. So
I mean,
there's challenges with that.
They tried with the woken Matt, yeah. But like
stupid.
That's not what it is.
No, it's not. And I like a lot of it was a stupid idea by bad creative, as Jericho would say. But there was like, he was injured for a decent chunk of that, and then
they didn't really
know how Jeff fit into it at all. So like it was just, I think it didn't find its footing, and then being injured that long, I don't know if they ever really had a fair swing at it anyway. But it is nice to just see him have this gimmick so unbridled again. And to see Jericho just set it up so perfectly at the end of the show. Like, he just kept doubling down on, like, we operate in reality. Do you want to join the Inner Circle or do you want to join the Elite? And then seeing him get, like, genuinely frustrated when he wouldn't answer the question. Like, you guys and I have all talked to that guy, right? Like, where you're like, just tell me the answer to this thing. Like, it was so relatable. I was like, I've been on conference calls where I've been Jericho in this situation. Like, I loved how the discord between the reality and the broken Matt Hardy mentality. Like, I just thought it was really, really cleanly executed during the show.
I think we're also burying the lead a little bit on how fantastic it was for Jericho to pitch I can't remember the drone
Vanguard
on
One.
Joining
Vanguard One.
Yes, he pitched Vanguard One joining the Inner Circle. That was so fucking amazing. We were dying on the couch. It was fantastic.
I gotta give props to my man Kratzo, who's listening live. He did a little research. Hardy and Chris Jericho have had 5 matches. One in 2001, one in 2002, 2 in 2004, and the last being 2010 in Elimination Chamber qualifying match. But still, when you think about the amount of time
Never
they spent in that company together and that they've only had 5 matches, yeah, it's pretty remarkable. Shout out to Kratzo listening to a friend in Austria.
Oh, Kratzo, stay healthy.
At Kratzo on the Twitter machine. Overall for AEW Dynamite, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. I'm stealing from your boy Meltzer. How do you like them apples?
I have a full thumbs up, not even an Orange Cassidy thumbs up, just like a thumbs up. This was a solid A show to me.
2 thumbs up.
Nice. Mr. Danny?
Thumbs up. They're entertaining me when there's no baseball, there's no hockey, there's nothing. So I'm very thankful that they're putting shows on and you can tell they care and want it to be fun for fans.
And this was a lot of fun tonight. I know we're getting close to midnight. I told my wife this would be an hour. I didn't tell her it was going to take me 45 minutes to figure it out because I'm a fucking moron.
Wait, do you have a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
Oh, 2 thumbs up, 100%. I loved every minute of it. I enjoy what AEW is doing. So you could have no fans in the crowd. You could have 1,000 fans in the crowd. You could have a sold-out building. As long as you're telling me a story that I'm invested in, and there's all these underlying stories. Like now, the Elite has Matt Hardy. Is he friend? Is he foe? What does Nick Jackson do? When Vanguard 1 flew out to Rancho Cucamonga, he was 61%. Where does that lie? What's up with Adam Page and Kenny Omega? You know, so many spoons in the porridge, as I like to say.
They also, as a company, do an incredible job, not so much the past couple of weeks because of obvious restrictions. They do an incredible job of getting a lot of guys on TV. Like, they have a lot of stables and tag teams, which help, but man, oh man, do they, like, manage to get a lot of talent, a lot of TV time. It's really cool to see.
And they mix it up. Like, you know, we're not getting the same match every week. I mean, of course, you know, sometimes when the feuds are coming to a head, you know, we'll get some of these same matches. Like, you know, we've seen a lot of the Elite versus the Inner Circle. But what do you expect? They were building to, you know, Blood and Guts. So
yeah, there's five guys in that.
Yeah.
Like, so even when you're seeing the Elite versus the Inner Circle, it's like, well, that could mean five different possibilities.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's why I don't mind it. But like, yeah, I'm other products, we're literally seeing guy A versus guy B three times a week. It's, you know. So
Seth
I think they're
Rollins
doing a good job.
Kevin Owens at WrestleMania, like, I've seen it.
There was something that I read, like, Humberto Carrillo and Andrade had fought, like, six times in, like, I think, like, 8 or 9 weeks. And for, like, three of those weeks, Andrade was suspended, and Carrillo lost, I think, all of them. And this was on live TV. So, yes.
Okay, Matt was trying to wrap up, and then I just kept talking, so I don't want you to get killed by your wife.
No, you guys are good. This was a lot of fun. I would love to do this again maybe next week. If you guys
sure, thumbs up.
More content for the Shining Wizards, and I will actually know what the fuck I'm doing, so it won't take me 45 minutes to set things up. Before we sign off, do you guys have any plugs? I know Kate is over at ondeckic.com doing whatever Kate does. She probably needs to go to AT&T.com and get her fucking phone fixed, because when I'm laying in my bed at 2:30 in the morning, I get four text messages from Kate. My wife's like, who's texting you at 4:30 or 2:30? And I'm like, I don't know what any of these texts mean. They have zero context. And then I wake up.
True. I was broken.
Maybe.
Like, well,
then I wake up and I turn my phone on and I have fucking 10 text messages and they're all from you, and it's the ramblings of a fucking psychopath.
I'm broken. That's all that is. I actually do have a plug for On Deck IC. We just opened a songwriting division and we're getting into wrestling themes, hopefully. So that's super fun, and like small business jingles and podcast themes and stuff like that. So that's just something I'm really excited about because I know a lot of talented songwriters. So it's a fun place to be diving into. And man, oh man, was I going to do work at WrestleCon. Womp, womp.
Gentlemen, anything
sucks
for you? You guys got anything?
Nothing for me. If you want, I was going to say, if you want to follow me on social, Ant Money on Twitter, Ant Money 24/7 Instagram. That's it. I post stupid shit.
Danny Russ 973 on Instagram and Twitter. Don't be a dick and go outside. Stay in and watch wrestling.
Hey.
And if you're gonna go get some takeout, go to a Pizza Vita in Summit.
Look at you.
Look at me.
Wow, really fitting it all in.
Danny was straying from it too, and then he just put you over hard.
I love it. I don't know what to say. I'm dumbfounded. You guys are great. I hope we could do this again next week and talk more AEW Dynamite and wrestling. And I know that we all kind of need this to just talk wrestling and not do it over the text message group. It's nice to actually see you guys, and glad everybody's well and your families are well. And Kate, are you going to cry, Kate? What are you doing over there with your face?
What?
I don't know.
No, I had hair in my face.
Okay,
I
didn't know.
Out of my face.
I didn't know what was going on. I wasn't trying to
get. I had baby things. I was blowing them out of the way, you weirdo. All
right. Well, everybody.
Not that emotional.
All right, good. That's good. As Danny said, don't be a fucking dickhead.
I was so good. I just can't.
Stay in your fucking house. Don't be a fucking selfish prick. Stay home. They're giving away the WWE Network for fucking free. They're literally giving it away for free right now. So just fucking watch the network or go on YouTube and just fucking watch wrestling all day. You know, go down the weird rabbit hole, find the fucking weird thing where the Asian chick gets banged in the middle of the ring, watch a China porno, whatever. It all escalates. You go down the wrestling rabbit hole, you're going to find something fucked up. You might be able to get your jollies off, too. Who knows? Kate's, like, disgusted. She's like, this...
I'm not disgusted. I'm just like, you should end the show now, because what better note are you going to go out on than that? Watch wrestling and get off at the same time.
Exactly. Am I right? The Shining Wizards Cup 2020... On Facebook, on Twitter, shiningwizards.com/... Nope, wrong thing. Shiningwizards.com is the website. Tony finally put it all together because GoDaddy sucks a fucking dick. He finally got all our old episodes up there. So if you're looking to kill time, you can go through the archives. All these lovely people that have joined me tonight have done episodes with me. We've done them together. We've done them separate. We've done two-thirds. We've done Anthony sat in for the fucking massive disaster of a show with Brandon Kirk and Casey Cattell.
That wasn't a disaster at all. I was, like, mortified because I was like, why would you put glass in your mouth? I didn't even have any questions. I just wanted to hear why somebody would put a light bulb in their mouth.
We found out. So, I mean, you guys are great. I appreciate all the support. I appreciate your friendship. Kate, you can be in our stable. We are now known as the Cornucopia, so... Suck on that, Nick Aldis.
Tune in next week to see if I join.
Yes, that would be amazing. Guys, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your night. Be safe. We'll watch some AEW Dynamite. And keep your eyes peeled. I'm going to do like a wrestling roundtable tomorrow afternoon where I'm just going to take phone calls. So if you want to call in and shoot the shit on Dark Side of the Ring, whatever you're watching on the network, whatever you're watching on YouTube, just want to shoot the shit, we'll be doing that tomorrow.
You got it.
It's good.
Nope. All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
You too.
Later.
See ya.
Bye, guys.